Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. The way out of suffering is to be engaged in the process of ending suffering. Assignment. As you sit with all you've seen so far about how you're caused to suffer around the process of receiving, allow to arise in conscious awareness what freedom from suffering would look like for you. How would you rather be with the process of receiving? What would you choose as the alternative to the habitual conditioned orientation? RL, what you see. Example, I want to be open to the ways I'm cared for instead of being focused on a conversation about how I'm not cared for. All right. Here's our first caller. We are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan in Los Angeles.
Hello, Dan. What are you seeing?
Quick process note. Got a little behind, but you know what? I had 5 minutes before the call, and I just looked at the assignment and did it. And life just
there
dropped in stuff. Boom.
Yes, because you when you're present, you know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Right? It's just when we're off with ego mind somewhere that we have to really do a lot of thinking and be confused and struggle and
struggle, yeah.
Have dualities.
You have to earn it or fight for it. A lot of hard work is needed before you're going to see it.
A lot of hard work, that's right. Or you could just be here and see it.
Yeah. Which is continuing the receiving theme. So what I've been working with was you know, I have a lot, but if I just, you know, it'd be a little bit better if I just had that one thing. What drops in is it was a movie with Tom Cruise. He was a samurai or something. Anyway, there's this lord who's looking for the perfect cherry blossom. And at the end of the movie, he's dying and the cherry blossoms are falling and he goes, oh, they're all perfect. just the feeling that brings me that right there, that, you know, I don't need a nicer house or a better thingy. It's all perfect. So
it's all perfect.
Now I can enjoy looking
here.
At it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of not trying to not be that thing, but what do I want to practice? And so what dropped in with that was not what should I do next or what now. I mean, the what now is nice, but what resonated for me a little bit was what am I being? Not what am I doing, but what am I being? And
uh-huh.
That lets me know where my awareness is.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
The doing is not going
to
get me.
And to combine those, that's right, to combine those, how do I want to be?
How do I want to be? Yeah. So I want to be like the cherry blossoms falling, so not chasing one imaginary thing. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's beautiful. I love that movie, by the way. Thank you, Dan.
Gosh, so.
Thanks, Dan. I love that movie, too. I absolutely do. Those cherry blossoms have a lot to teach us. It truly is. I love the way Dan said it. It's not what I'm doing. It's how I'm being.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even, and when you just pause with that question, it's so not a doing in that also, because you cannot do to be. It's an oxymoron.
Right, yeah.
You can't be being. Yeah, the answer is in the question. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, from life.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
This? This is Helga in Charleston. Helga, how are you? What are you seeing?
Hi. So I was looking at the process of receiving guidance from my body and listening to my body and trusting my body. And
since your body is always here.
Exactly. And to me,
and
the body
is. And you might not be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So ego has set up this whole conversation, of the duality of the body against the mind. Mm-hmm. And where the body is basically that, where the body has betrayed me. Because it is not listening to what the mind is telling it. And
smart body.
Yeah. So to me, what it would look like would be really just attuned to the body in every moment, and not assuming anything, what the body wants and needs, because it changes.
Because it's present.
And the conversation in the mind never changes. Pardon me.
Well, I just said because the body is here, it's constantly changing. And as you pointed out, because the mind is not here, it never changes.
Right. It's always the same. It's always the same conversation. So what I saw was, it's this process of trusting, in a trusting life. And for me, it's like trusting the body, which is really the same thing.
Yes, because Helga, because what you're sensing, I project what you're looking at is trusting what's animating you. Where do you have the experience of being animated? Not in your mind.
Right.
Far from it. Right? And so it really is an attempt to get closer, in closer proximity to, in closer relationship to the life force.
Yep. Yeah, and what I see is that in the mind, it's like this idea, if I just have the right thought, if I just have the right thought, then the body will align itself to the mind, which, of course, is total nonsense, but...
Yes, it is. But it takes a while to see it, doesn't it?
It's like this overriding, desire of the mind to control the body.
That's right. And by extension, to control you, right? That's the way to control you.
Right, yeah. It's like, there's like this what you always talk about, this false identification with the mind. It's like the center is in, when I'm identified with the mind, that's where the center is, and it wants to overrule the wisdom of the body instead of the other way around.
That's right. Yeah. That's why, of course, in practice, we're constantly encouraged to just sit down for a minute. Be still. Just listen. And what we're listening to is not the mind. Right, we're trying not to listen to the mind for a few minutes so that we can get present enough to receive the wisdom that is us, that animates us.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No.
Oh no! It was just a little add-on. I lived with a woman who had breast cancer and ultimately died from it in the house, with me and friends and everything. And I saw this process with her where she, she thought if she just had the right attitude, then the cancer would go away.
Yeah.
And it was this enormous struggle, and it was so painful to watch that because in the end, she died from the cancer, and it was like this enormous struggle where she couldn't allow anything.
It was her fault.
Anything that she deemed as negative, it has always had to be always positive, and it's like if she had just the right thoughts, You know, and then now I'm thinking about that. It's exactly what I do. You know, it's the same process.
Yeah. Well, it's what we're trained to do. And and the saddest part of that is that she dies with conditioning, having her believe it's her fault. Because she couldn't do it.
It was such a struggle, you know. There was no surrender. It was so painful to watch her struggling, you know, against it. There was no acceptance whatsoever. And, anyway, so.
Well, that's an excellent connection to make, right? There is a very good picture of how you don't want to be. So that's truly helpful.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much, Helga.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Helga. There's so much in that conversation, Jerry, but that salient piece of recognizing that the mind cannot triumph over anything, including itself.
Yeah.
And yet our freedom lies in liberating ourselves from it.
Yes. Yes. And as people are looking at this, I go back to kind of a fundamental notion in practice that this is what we learned in order to survive as very, very, very small children.
Mm-hmm.
What we were experiencing was wrong, and we need to go into the head and figure out what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's defined as what people want from me.
Mm-hmm.
How people want me to be,
mm-hmm.
right? And so once we've accomplished that, then you know we're meant to live the rest of our lives worshiping that thing that is going to ensure our survival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we have to figure things out and.
Yeah, well, I think we were looking at it on the show yesterday that we're focused on being something, always being something we're not, because we're not appreciated for what we are. And that being that Dan was talking about is really the receiving, finally, of what it is that is animating us and getting as close to it as possible. And there's no way you could do that with the mind, because inherently it's an instrument of separation.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does it with thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Jamie in Delaware.
Hello, Jamie. What are you seeing?
Well, I guess what I've been seeking most of my life, if not all of it, is love or unconditional love. But I've been doing it from a conditional perspective or with a conditional mind, and that hasn't worked very well.
But no, it doesn't, does it?
No, I continually find reasons to believe I'm not loved, or I get critical of myself for not being loving enough. But
Jamie, what? As you know, but I have to say it anyway, what's actually happening, of course, is that conditional mind is telling you these things, right? You're not loving enough. That's why you're not loved. You're not loved. Why?
Right.
Why are you not loved? Well, there's something wrong with you. You need to fix that.
Right. It's just a continual cycle that it never the problem's never solved. Or I never get unconditional love.
Nope.
So I have to step out of that, which
we're
talking about.
Right. Right. Basically, you never get to realize that you are unconditional love.
Right. I want to be it. And then, for me anyway, it takes work. It doesn't, I have to come back to focusing on what I'm grateful for and listening to recording and listening. Recordings about just being here now and being okay now here.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm continuing to try to try to do that, and the show helps. But it's a new perspective. It's a wonderful perspective, but it's a new way of being. and being
And Jamie, I wish I could give you this, okay? And that is the realization that none of this would have occurred to you if unconditional love weren't who you are.
Right. I think I've known for a long time that there has to be a different way, and that's what I'm pursuing.
Yes. Except what I'm encouraging you to consider is,
yes,
you don't need to pursue it.
I am it.
You are it. That's right.
Right.
Every time you look at a flower and you feel your heart fill with the beauty of that flower or something or someone that you love, when you feel that, to just recognize, oh, that's who I am. That's what I am.
Right, and I can love everybody. I don't. That doesn't mean I necessarily agree with everything they do, but I don't have to. I can still love.
All I want right now, if you want to give me meet my wishes and desires,
right.
Love Jamie. Forget about everybody else.
I'm okay right here, right now.
That's right. And as he is increasingly unconditionally loved, it's just a natural progression.
So
all your focus on helping him to realize who he authentically is, that he is the unconditional love that he has been seeking all of his life. He's just been looking outside instead of looking inside.
And it's not in the future, it's right here now. It's
exactly
like,
so.
Not, yeah, which is another different perspective.
That's it.
conditional mind continually wants to me to be pursuing something.
That's right. And you don't have to pursue anything. That's our theme of the day. You just have to be that heart of unconditional love that is right there inside of Jamie.
See the beauty in me and the beauty in the world, like you said, flowers and trees and birds. And,
Right.
All right. Well, I'll keep focusing on
that. You can
that.
Do this. That's
yeah,
right.
Can
you
do
can
it.
Do this.
All right. And I'll keep in touch.
All right.
Thank you for your encouragement. Right.
Oh, thank you, Jamie.
Go happy, huh?
Go happy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jamie. Seems to be in whole mind, Sherry, because what I was looking at this morning is really, it's a really interesting place because and perhaps you can help me articulate it, being unconditional love is something that I can experience the moment I'm present, say, to a flower, and there is still a process that I practice in order to receive that I am loved, that's important to replace the longing that I experience to be loved from something external. And what you just pointed out, that loving Jamie or loving me in that sense that we talk about in practice is an ingredient we cannot skip over. Because there's a way in which that receptivity of ourselves as loved is not necessarily, it's necessary. It's a necessary step because otherwise the longing to be loved never gets replaced.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny when you're describing that, I think about that simple little exercise that we started doing a few years ago of you're there and you look at that flower and there's a recognition of that flower, right? We feel it inside ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you say to that flower, I love you. Mm-hmm. Do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
And then listen really carefully.
Yes.
Well, go ahead.
Well, it's what we were doing in the workshop on Sunday, right, where you interview what an object thinks about, loves about you, as a way to create that relationship, that relating, sort of subject orientation of you being the subject of love, because most of the time I'm the object of ego, and that thinking process has to be flipped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And what the thing that we were just talking about with Jamie is then, okay, there, take that experience that both of us just described, right, those little exercises or games or whatever it is, but then realize all that's happening inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the love that you're seeking, all the love that you're giving, all the love you want, all the love, it's mm-hmm. all happening right there inside of you. So mm-hmm. we couldn't long for unconditional love if we weren't unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
It would
mm-hmm.
not be possible because we wouldn't know what it was, so there would be no longing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that it's a shift in perspective that fulfills mm-hmm. the desire. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
I want to be unconditionally loved. Mm-hmm. How do I know that?
Yeah.
That would be a wonderful two-handed recording or mm-hmm. a wonderful exercise to do. How do I know? How do I know that's what I want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Danielle from Chicago.
Well, hello, Danielle. You sound like you're right next door. What a treat. What are you seeing?
Earlier this morning I said I'm going to call in, and then I got a little late to the show, and I was told, you shouldn't call in, but I was like, nope, I'm putting myself in the queue. Mm-hmm. But further than that, I've been seeing how it's becoming more clear to me how I don't have much control over anything really. and yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
The best place to be is right here, right now. And I just see that ego really tries to pull me to look, to not stay here and now, because I need to stay in the past, because people have been not nice to me, or I've been not nice to other people. And mm-hmm. I've kind of, you know, what I try and tell myself, or what I try and listen to, like from the mentor, is the best that I can be towards myself and to others is to be in the present. And I just can feel ego feeling so uncomfortable with that, like just going crazy. So just I've been trying to just kind of replace that conversation. So
right. And there's practice right there. I see that conversation is going on. It's very clear. You know exactly why ego doesn't want you to do this. Right? Because it's mm-hmm. going to be the end of ego. Because the only thing ego's got going for it is that it can pull you off into the past, into feeling bad, into a conversation with it, right? You don't want to do that. You don't want to live there. It's not that there's anything wrong with it. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't anything. It's just not fun. It's like realizing that you've got this old friend from grammar school who is really depressing to be around. Okay. Good. I don't want to do that anymore, right? And so now then, the practice is every time you realize you're in that conversation with the ego, you drop it and you come back here. That's mm-hmm. it. There's practice. Now, of course, it'll start trying to get you with, well, you know, you forgot all about that all day long. Yeah, you didn't, you know, you just went with ego all, yeah, and you just drop it. Because you're not going to learn anything.
Yeah, and yeah, it's really awesome. I'm very grateful that I, you know, am finally kind of seeing them more clearly. And so it definitely doesn't feel, obviously it makes sense that it doesn't feel it doesn't feel quote natural, because I'm so used to living in the other way. So it's just like, you know, just keep practicing and just very grateful for everything.
And fortunately, Danielle, we have a pandemic, right? And so the phrase that we hear all the time is the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want things to get back to normal. In practice, we really don't want things to get back to normal, because that means I'm being controlled and made miserable by ego. No, I don't want that normal. So what is the new normal? And that, and it's a process, as you say, of getting used to it. Okay, well, this feels uncomfortable to miserable, because ego is really fighting for its control over me and my life. Okay, I need to get used to that and keep an eye on what I know to be true. I don't need to suffer. I don't need to do that. That's not what life is about. That's what ego is about. So I'm drop that conversation, come back here. And in a shockingly short period of time, being present will feel normal.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll let me know, okay? You will
let me know.
Because it happens way faster than ego would ever want a person to know.
Well, I'm excited.
Right. Me too. Me too. Go happy.
Go happy, Gosho. Thank you.
Gosho.
Thanks, Danielle. Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hello, Jennifer. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm in the receiving department. What I was noticing is a new player that I didn't quite get was ego. I have the, like, crepe hanger sub-personality who is, you know, going on about how horrible everything is. And then there's the cheerleader, and the cheerleader is just... You're supposed to be over in the cheerleader. What's wrong with you that you're just over in this crepe hanger thing and you're not over in the cheerleader? And I saw that the cheerleader was not my friend because, you know, that was just the flip side of the crepe hanger.
She's over there actually when you're not looking, handing crepe to the crepe hanger, right?
Yeah, because you have to be cheered up from the crepe.
Oh, exactly. So what you saw is they're in cahoots.
They're in cahoots, and then there's a referee who's, you know, telling me whether, you know, how much time you spend in each one. And the idea was, boy, I'd like to receive more of the cheerleader than receive more of the crepe hanger, but really I don't want any of that stuff.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, that and that is so subtle, isn't it? Because you want to feel better.
I get that. Yeah. Yeah, and if you
feel that
negativity,
that's
ego, so that's not good. So you should be feeling better.
You'd be jolly.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just seeing that, you know, there's some place to step outside of that, have a bigger picture. You know, it's all in there. You know, the content of the crepe hanger is true, and the content of the cheerleader is true. You know, it's all happening, and I'm just looking at how do you receive all of it.
Right. Well, you know, Jennifer, that's such an interesting place, and deeply philosophical, so we'll just do the cliff notes, okay? But is it true? How do we know it's true? We assume it's true because we've been taught to believe it's true. But what if it's not true?
Well,
what if it's not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one thing that we can be pretty sure about as human beings, as smart as we all are, is that there's way more that we don't have any idea about. Now, that's probably bad phrasing because a lot of people have a lot of ideas. On Open Air last night, we had what I found to be a really fun conversation with somebody who was trying to figure out whether the president is actually, I mean, it wasn't this language, but this is what we were talking about, is actually the chosen one of God or not. And the people who really, 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 really believe he is, and the people who suspect that that might not be the case. Okay? And so the part that was so interesting for me about it is, of course, the believing. And what people go through trying to believe stuff that there is absolutely no evidence of whatsoever, except this circular believing.
Right, right.
So when I gave up on most of philosophy, when I realized for so many people, the starting premise is there is a God. Well, we're in big trouble right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just offer that to you from that perspective of, so, you know, the crepe hanger, the cheerleader, we look at and we assume that what they're, the content that they're talking to us about is true. But if it isn't, and if there is, what then? And if there is, in quotes, truth in it, well, what does that mean? And I mean, I'm hoping I don't send you off down a primrose path somewhere with those two, because
I'm looking
course,
at my primroses right now, so no worries.
Oh. Okay. So the main thing I want, you know, of course, I'm asking you to consider is, what if that assumption that the information that these folks are giving me is true is not the case? What if we actually have no idea what the heck is going on here, which I suspect is closer to the truth? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good thing to consider. That'll give me something to do.
Good. There you go. When you're not spending time with those two or the referee, This will be something to let life drop in some fun things about.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer. Oh, Sherry, there's so much I want to talk about around that conversation, but we'll save it for a different day. We're at the end of the show, and here's our assignment. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. As you sit with what freedom from suffering looks like for you around receiving, allow to arise in conscious, compassionate awareness a way to train to be free from suffering around receiving. Assignment. Make a commitment that embodies your training focus. This will be your daily practice for the next 7 days. Remember, as awareness practitioners, our practice of commitment is not about achieving a content goal. We're always training to pay attention. Example. I want to be receptive to all forms of caring. I'll set a timer 3 times a day. When the timer goes off, I will look through the lens of caring and make a recording of examples of caring that I notice.
Now, here we go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.